from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Jesus says something interesting, something shocking. He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." At Christian funeral services, especially here, when they're here at the church, we pray two prayers that sometimes sound strange, especially when it's the ears of people who aren't a part of a church, who don't share what you share, membership in Jesus Christ's body. And these prayers go as such. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and peace. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of saints, your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This is a very different way of looking at things than the world teaches us to look at them. Often when I talk with someone, I'm going to say it, Jewel, right? There's an oldie. Or at the gym, or at the library, or the coffee shop, places where I do my work throughout the week. And someone expresses that they haven't been to church in a long time because they have lost a loved one. I ask them, what about the loss of a loved one has made you want to not be with people that love you, care for you, and pray for you? One woman actually said, "Well, you know, I never thought of it like that. The way that I've learned is that when something bad happens to you, I go away." I hesitate to say this, but she said, "The way that when a dog is hurt, it will go away and be apart." And I think that that's sad. Because when you're a part of a body, the body of Christ, and Christ is eager to give you strength, when we remember things from our childhood or from our daily reading of the scriptures, "When I am weak, he makes me strong," he's talking about the communion of the saints. What do we mean when we confess together, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body"? I want to give you some extended quotes from a hero of Pastor Marty and Pastor Patelko. His name was Berthold von Schenck, a pastor in Baltimore and then later New York City. He wrote on grief in 1945, "When we lose our loved ones, it comes as a tremendous shock. For a time, we are simply stunned because not everyone can feel at once their loved one's continuing companionship. We should not, for that reason, despair, though. Some of us are able to make the adjustment to the loss of a loved one very quickly, and God be praised. But for most of us, myself included, it comes slowly and it is hard. And many an hour is filled with loneliness and agonizing doubt. It hurts." By ourselves, on our lonesome, we can never make this adjustment to being without our loved ones in the body. We must come to a sense of the continuing presence of our loved ones. And we can do this if we realize the presence of our living Lord. As we seek and find our risen Lord, we shall find our dear departed, for they are with him. And we find the reality of their continued life through Jesus. May I remind you, Jesus said, "I am not the God of the dead, but of the living, for I am the living God." The saints, those who had faith in the Lord Jesus and have passed to be with him, are a part of what the scriptures call the church triumphant, described in today's Revelation reading in chapter 7. It answers the question, what is my loved one who died in faith in Jesus? What are they doing now? What are they doing right now? God answers that in Revelation chapter 7. We worship alongside our faithful departed. They worship in triumph, face to face with Jesus Christ. They worship alongside us here in the church, down here on earth, in his heavenly courtroom, with this being his throne, this being the dais that leads up to him, which mirrors his temple of the Old Testament. You see, our faithful departed worship the risen Jesus Christ, just like us, but not just like us. For they worship him face to face, as I said, while we worship the same risen Christ under the veil of bread and wine, body and blood at this altar. For this altar is the throne described in Revelation 7 of the Lamb who was slain, but also the Good Shepherd who leads us to the good food and green grass of his word and of the living water of baptism. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. That's what the angel says in Revelation 7. Who are, you know, behold, a host arrayed in white. Who are these? They are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Don't worry. The great tribulation is not a great mystery to be solved like a puzzle. No. It's simply what you are in right now, every day. And I could say the same thing in 1950, the same thing in 1980, the same thing in 1823, the same thing in 1655, etc. You are living in the great tribulation. The simple day-to-day pains and struggles of everyday life, when you want something to go just so, but it doesn't. When you want to get the job interview to go perfectly, but you mess up. When you are more qualified than your coworker, but they get a promotion. When you plan to have a family day and you're called in for work. When you want to get up at 7 a.m., but you just can't get yourself out of bed. The Great Tribulation. Every waking moment between Christ's resurrection and his promised return. This angel goes on to describe our loved ones in Revelation 7. He says, they have washed their robes and made them white, the robes that is, not the people, in the blood of the Lamb. This is why at a funeral here, so when you do a funeral here at your church, this is a Christian funeral, right? But if we do it at a funeral home, we aren't afforded the same luxuries of using our own worship space, and so we can do less. But when we do a funeral service here at our church, we're able to do something like cover your casket or cover your remains that are cremated in an urn with a white funeral pall. This is to show the white robes that you were clothed with in your baptism. This is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wedding garment that Jesus was looking for at his wedding banquet a few Sundays ago in the parable of the wedding feast. This is a pure white garment given at the washing of baptism in his blood, his word joined to water for you. Fonchain continues, at the communion, right? So a 1928 way of saying when you come up for communion, at the communion, we are linked with heaven in this place, with the communion of saints, with our loved ones. Here at the altar, focused to a point, we find our communion with the dead. And that should scare you until I finish the sentence. We find here our communion with the dead because the altar is the closest meeting place between us and our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the living, our loved ones who continue to live though they die, as he promised in John chapter 11. The altar is the closest place of meeting with our dead who are in Christ's keeping. They are with him. They are in his bosom. The same way that the Apostle John, whom Jesus loved, leaned against the bosom of Jesus Christ at the Last Supper on the night in which he was betrayed, and whence they communed with Jesus. Your loved one is in the bosom of Jesus Christ, and you can join them there, here, at this altar, leaning on the everlasting arms. The altar is the meeting place where Jesus has chosen for us to meet with those whom we love who have departed. And so the altar must therefore be the meeting place where we meet our loved ones, for there we meet Jesus. And they are with Jesus. Fonchain continues in a masterful paragraph. Oh, that you and I could take those who are mourning by the hand. Take them away from a gravestone. Take them out through the cemetery gate and in through the door of the church, up the nave to the very altar itself. And there, put them in touch, not with the dead body of their loved one, like at the graveside, but with their living soul, who is alive with Christ, the God of the living, at his altar. Oh, that we could put them in touch with the living body and soul together of Christ Jesus our Lord, who gives us his very body and his blood for the life of the world, for the forgiveness of their sin. Our human nature hurts when we grieve. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Something in us that's human, what all these movies and books and poems are about. Something hurts inside of us because it feels like something important is gone. Because body and soul are no longer united, and that is terrible, and it's something to cry about. because it's not supposed to happen. It's not natural. Your loved one has died. My loved one has died. I'm supposed to be with them like I'm supposed to be with Jesus. And therefore, we need what's called assurance. Blessed assurance. And this also might sound scary, but you know it to be true. Sometimes you doubt even the firmest of promises because they are words. And words get jumbled in your head. Words are forgotten. Words are misremembered. But Jesus gives us words that are unshakable. Gives us words that are a firm foundation, that build up and give life. And sometimes we need more than what words can say, because we need the word. The same word that I talk about when I say, upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, I speak of the Logos, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the Christmas child, the man on a cross who is God, who died for your sins and rose again. And because sometimes we need more than mere human words, Jesus gives us not only words, but sacraments as well. So he'll join the word of his promise to water. And instead of just hearing a word, you feel it on your skin. And every time you feel water on your skin again, you're reminded of his word of promise. You are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Jesus gives us words joined to bread and wine, to body and blood, and you taste his word on your tongue. You taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, I know the place where heaven and earth, where the throne room of Christ the Lamb and the church, where Christ is with his faithful departed, where you and I meet, and this is at the altar. How it thrills me when I chant the words with you in our liturgy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, for I know that my loved one, my Christian hero of old, that I've only read about, whether they're from the scriptures or after, the place where my faithful ancestors that I've never met, if they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're there. They're there with me, with the company of heaven, with the communion of saints, with the Christian church, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, the nearer I come to my Lord Jesus Christ in his holy communion, the nearer I come to the saints, and the nearer I come to my loved ones, even if they have died before we have been able to reconcile or catch up or tie up loose ends. For I am a member of the body of Christ. I share with you in the body of Christ himself, his church, the communion of the saints. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.